Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
Now, when we do a Matthew 2.0 podcast, you know, in whatever years, we'll come back and get the rest that we didn't get tonight.
Yes, exactly. I'll be ready for Matthew 2.0 before I'll be ready for Daniel 2.0, and I can tell you. So.
Amen.
You want me to read chapter 6?
Yeah.
Okay. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. But then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received the reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received the reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received the reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he would hate the one and love the other, or he would be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. It is not like more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than them? And which of you, by being anxious about a single hour, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yeah, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and in all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Anybody else saying seek ye first when you hear that last part? That's so.
Seek ye first the kingdom.
Thank you. It's one of the things I am appreciating a little bit more as I get older. Again, is the songs that go to verses of the Bible. Because I'm like, oh, I know this verse. I didn't know it was a verse. I just knew it was a song. I feel like a lot of people, churches, a lot of the earthly population could really look at the whole. And this is also me. I'm not saying this as a judgment. I'm just saying is to not publicize your good deeds. Because it's hard. It's hard. You're like, hey, I did this today. Mm-hmm. You know, what did you do? You know, or it's just like, you know, you're saying, oh, well, I did this and I went here and did that and I helped this person out. And it, you know, those videos are nice sometimes when you see, you know, you see people helping others. But then again, some of it's like, you maybe would have meant more to that person had you done that off camera. Or how staged is this? You know, like, is this actually even actually happening?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What were we talking about today at our staff meeting? About the why behind what we do, right? Mm-hmm. Is it your heart informing you, or is it your persona informing you? Is it I'll look good? You know, we were talking about, cause we did a baccalaureate service for our youth group kids the other day. And these kids are just awesome. Like they've had so many different youth leaders over the last few years, but they have stuck together as a group of kids without a consistent, you know, person just for them and stuff like that.
Awesome.
And I thought that's about character. Mm-hmm. And that's about like their parents and the people who poured in them, even if it was only for a year or this or that, right? And they don't do it for show. These kids are not the ones that are up front. They're the kids that are in the AV booth or teaching Sunday school class to the little ones. And they're not there for performance or to the showy part, right? The publicly, you know, be admired for others. Now, of course, we all love to have a compliment and be told you're doing a great job or you did a really, you know, wonderful thing or whatever. We all love that, but it's that state of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
How are you caring for others and caring for yourself and the people God puts before you or the community that you're in? It's where does your heart language take you? And if it only looks inward, let's do some deep searching. Cause I have selfish guilty moments too, where I'm like, it's about me.
Yeah.
Like, and there's a point where some of that's okay, especially if you're then going to be able to care for others. But if that's your only focus is it's about me all the time. That's where the, you know, the needy, mm-hmm. not taking care of others, not caring for others at all. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's always a difference in, again, that's where the humble and the meekness kind of comes in, because there's a difference in you saying, look what I did, in comparison to somebody to say, hey, I saw what you did, you know, and recognize mm-hmm. the work that you've done. Like, hey, thank you so much. Or I couldn't have done this without you, or, you know, something like that. Like there is a difference, but it's not you standing on a pedestal and saying, hey, just so you know, look what I did today. You know, this person really needed something and I was there, you know, other than, unless you're saying God told me to do this.
Yeah.
And I did it. And you're doing that as a part of your testimony or witnessing. That's, you know, there's a time and a place. And it's just a matter mm-hmm. of, again, like you said, was it John Christ? So check your heart.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, I think too that, you know, it's put in here also for our benefit, you know, that you do something good in secret, because if you do it in secret, it's easier not to take, to not stand on that pedestal. You know, it keeps you from, it keeps you humbled. It keeps you, if no one knows what you did, then, you know, you can't elevate yourself. You can only elevate God.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I kind of think, you know, like movie stars, you know, especially these young kids that start out and then they have all this fame and all this attention and all this, and how it destroys them. a lot of them, you know, some of them make it out okay, but and I think that my mind just kind of goes to that when I see this kind of stuff, because if you're doing something anonymous, then you can't take credit for it, then that keeps you humbled.
Something I had learned, and I don't know if it was Doug or if it was a different pastor sermon podcast that I learned this from, and I thought, and it kind of stuck with me, and I'm not going to do whomever said it first really much justice, because I'm just going to put it in Liz terms, because this is how I remember it. But you know, the Lord's Prayer, right? You go through, like, this is how you pray, and they pointed out, like, he's not specifically stating, here's all the words that you say, this is exactly what you need to say. Though I know I grew up saying it, we said it every Sunday, you know, at church and everything. So I know it, and I can say that without, sometimes maybe I might need a little push, but I can say this without looking at this verse, right? Same thing now after, you know, being in Lutheran church for as long as we were, I can do the Apostles' Creed really without looking at anything either. But this one is, you know, it's showing you that you know, when you're praying, you know, you're starting out with the whole, you know, you're acknowledging his glory, you know, you're acknowledging who God is. And then you're moving into, you know, I submit to your authority, you know, bring your will to this earth, like do what you need to do here for me, like guide me. And then, it, you know, it moves into, you know, here's my questions. This is what I need. I'm coming to you, Lord. I'm laying this at your feet, you know, so give us this day our daily bread. You're just like, this is what I'm bringing to you. So that way, you know, you can give it back to me, you know, and then you're asking him for help. Like, hey, keep me on the right path, direct me, do everything. So the whole thing is like, you know, you're just, it's more of like an outline, like here is how you're going to pray. And it doesn't have to be these words, but this should be almost like, again, this is your outline for when you come to God for something and you, daily, this is kind of how you approach it.
Yeah.
And we see that even in the Psalms, you know, we see it like you need, and I think the one thing I probably fail at the most is saying, God, you're just so good. You're amazing. I appreciate everything that you've done. Thank you, know, because it becomes hollow. Like, thank you, Lord, for everything. Like, you know, because I say it all the time. I mean, I say it almost every morning with the kids on the way to school. We pray most mornings, whether I'm in the mood to or not. It's something I do make sure that they know. Like, if I'm having a calling everybody an idiot type morning, we still need to come to prayer. You know, we still, like, I might have yelled at you because you didn't have your shoes on, you didn't brush your teeth, because you guys apparently forgot that we don't do that today, or every day. You know,
every other Tuesday.
Apparently, no, I don't need to wear the shoes today. I don't need my backpack. I don't need any of that. You know, or I didn't need to do my homework last night, and I just remembered this morning, and we need to do it before I leave. None of that. You know, but you have that, but I still like them to see, like, okay, we're going to God in prayer. We're still going to sit down and we're going to say, thank you for this. And, you know, I try to, you know, you point out, like, thank you for our house, that it's warm or that it's cool or that it's, you know, thank you for the rain. Cause, you know, and so you have that, but I do have a hard time, and I always get kind of jealous of the people, like, oh man, God is so good and he's all this and he's amazing. And I'm like, I'm not saying he's not, but sometimes I'm always like, I don't tell him that.
Yeah. I struggle with that too, Liz, a lot. That's why I've kind of gotten a new appreciation for Psalms, because Psalms does it so well. David so did well. It so well. And it's like when I do it a little bit stronger Bible journaling, quiet time, I always go to Psalms, because I do not do it well. Mm-hmm. That wording does not come easy to me. And so I can steal it from David.
Why else did the Lord have them write all their stuff down and form it into a book other than for us to use it as a tool to grow closer to him and share?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, our boys are young and we've been teaching them to pray. And so we let them pray at church. And sometimes, Liz, as you know, it goes a little long. But one of the things that my husband did was says, you know, give God's word back to him. And so they a lot of times when they say their prayers and, you know, before we eat or anything, they say the first verses they remembered. Genesis 1:1 and John 3:16.
I was gonna say, those are the two I can hear Bruce saying it.
Wine intermixes them very badly, but you know. But I like too that, you know, right before it gives the Lord's Prayer, it says, says, for the Father knows what you need before you ask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's, we don't need to get stuck on the, hey God, I really need this. I really need this. And that's to be the only prayer was what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like I get stuck at that, and sometimes I repeat myself over and over and over, and I'm like, if I say it enough times, he will understand. No, he knows. Right. He already knows. I had a lady, this has been a while back, there's like a revival out of Berea. Was it Berea? It was a church, not a church, just a college in Kentucky. It was this big revival that was going on, and it went from day and day and day. I remember her saying, well, maybe I need to go there. Maybe they can pray for me and I can get healing. And I remember saying, it doesn't matter who does the prayers. It's God knows what you need. And God's answer might be no.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's something in the Lord's Prayer that I think we gloss over it a lot of times, but I think it's, like you were saying, it is extremely important. It's God telling us how to talk to him.
Yeah.
Well, it's the thing, you know, that we do each and every week, right? In church, blah, 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 or in our daily things. And it becomes this is just what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had a pastor a couple of years ago when we'd studied the Lord's Prayer in church. He said, do you ever just stop after each line? He goes, we don't do that in church because we're just saying it. But when you pray it at home, do you go, our Father? Pause. Who art in heaven? Because then you actually are reflecting on each thing, hopefully. Not just taking dramatic pauses, but taking pauses so you can think about, you're calling your Father who's in heaven. You know, and those kinds of things. And if you just take that, even just a 1 second pause after each kind of phrase of the Lord's Prayer, it can just add so much to the way in which you're talking to him, having that conversation with him. And even then adding to the Lord's Prayer, like your stuff. So I just thought that was a really neat way to think about it from a prayer that we just do all the time.
Yeah.
You know. It's kind of like in the Lutheran church, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And I love that because it connects us back to the prayer we're praying, right? Like sometimes we can fall asleep in the middle of the long prayer that someone's saying or this or that because, ooh, shiny lights or, you know, like whatever. Yeah. And so sometimes that phrase can bring us right back to it, which is beautiful. But I also love the intentionality to think through the words I'm praying of the Lord's Prayer. Or doing the creed, or doing, you know, whatever that liturgy or those opening sentences or psalm is. Like, how many times have you read the 23rd Psalm?
Right. Yeah. Yep.
It's doing everything with an intentionality so that I'm growing closer to him. And it doesn't negate that sometimes you just need to say the Lord's Prayer quickly so that you can be focused. Like, even if it's just like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, help me pray. I'm doing this right now, Lord, because if I don't, I'm going to whatever.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's just amazing that those words can just transform your day.
Mm-hmm.
your moment, your whatever, so beautifully.
That's just, well, that, and you know, you're ending the Lord's Prayer, so you're ending his outline with, you know, forgive me. Mm-hmm. You're repenting, you're having that repentance, that you're not only acknowledging again his authority and providing him the opportunity, or giving yourself to him through this and bringing what's on your heart to him, but then you're saying, you know what, forgive me too. I know I'm not what I'm supposed to be. I know I'm not who I'm supposed to be, but hopefully all everything that we talked about before here will help me be better and be who I'm supposed to be, at least a little bit better today, you know, than I was 5 minutes ago.
Definitely. And like how, like, you know, right after that, it's talking about fasting. Fasting is not something I really, until recently, thought much about. I mean, I'm a girl who likes food.
Same.
Amen.
I'm a girl who recently didn't think I could go without food for prolonged periods of time. Because I've been fasting out lately, not spiritually, but for health wise. And I realized, hey, it's something that can be done. But we were at our women's Bible study last week. We were talking about Esther and how she tells the, you know, she sends a message to Mordecai. It's like, okay, I will do what you tell me to do, but first have everyone fast for me for 3 days, you know? Yeah. And one of the ladies in our church was talking about fasting and how, you know, that was something she used to do a lot, and how she had been convicted lately that she hadn't been doing it. And not that we fast. Well, if I pray and I fast about something, God's going to give it to me. No, that's not what that's about. It's about getting God's guidance for something. You know, we don't know which way to turn for something, then we can fast. And that is something I've never done spiritually. I've never had a spiritual fast. Never done it. Didn't think I could do it without food. But anyway, so I thought that was interesting.
I think sometimes fast. No, go ahead.
No, you go. I'll go after you.
Well, I know fasting isn't always all food, right? Like, it's not always, it's just giving up something, whether that be a distraction that could take you away from God during that time. So you're going to fast from social media, right? And you're going to take the time of which you were going to be on social media and pray. And this, you know, and also, I mean, that's why the only reason I even think that I know that I'm not, obviously social media is not biblical because they didn't have it, but they had Ezekiel bread, right? That was the fasting bread. So it's like, it's just a matter of fasting is also, you're giving up something. You are fasting, but it's also what you're putting in that thing's place. And so you can take away something, but you're putting that prayer and that fervency in its place, you know, just like Lent, you know, you take some denominations take away something during Lent, right? Like meat on Fridays, or, you know, or meat, and then you have fish on Fridays. You know, you have different things, like people take away chocolate. They take away all of these things. Like, that's what Lent does. Like, you're going to do that. And so that way you just kind of remember the sacrifices that God, Jesus did for us, you know? So fasting is, it takes on a whole bunch of different realms. We did it when I was in our youth group, like our youth group did, it would go through a day, but it was never really explained fully what it was. And he did take it as our youth pastor at that. He was our interim because our amazing youth pastor had left. And then kind of the guy that was just kind of his right-hand man kind of just stepped up, because I think he just felt like that was what he was supposed to do. Yeah. And I'm not saying that wasn't what God had planned, but it's hard to follow in Pastor Terry. But I don't feel like it was ever explained kind of the heart, where your heart needed to be to fast, you know, or why you're fasting. So like, if you are going to go ahead and take away food for, let's say, 1-2 days or whatever, however long you're doing it. And it's funny, because we were talking about fasting literally today at the dinner table. But, you know, if you're doing that, then the time that you feel the hunger pains, that's, or when you start to feel like you're this, that's when you're going to God. So it's always that what you're replacing whatever you've taken away with. And I don't, that was never explained until I was an adult. And even now I haven't fasted since, to be honest, I'll be honest, except for intermittent fasting. And I have been not doing too well at that lately either. So.
Yeah. So I was going to pull on the whole Lenten part and giving up things. No. I figured we were probably maybe similar. Anyway,
normally.
I'm just saying, but, I appreciate what you just said is that unless it's explained to us what it actually means, like, so for so long, because my mom was a good old Catholic girl for a long time and became Lutheran when she married my dad. She always gave up, meat on Fridays and did this. And as a kid, she just said, this is just what we do. And it wasn't until I got into confirmation that she started to explain more of the reason behind it. And that it was, you know, to give up something that was something dear to you, something that's hard to give up. Because it's about that sacrifice. It's also to help us reflect on the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross, that you know, that part of it. And that's what fasting does. Like, it depletes you of the stuff you're used to. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the Lord strips, and this is why we go through hard times sometimes, because no one said being a Christian and being a follower was going to be puppies and rainbows and chocolates and, you know, all the stuff you like, right?
Is that not in here? I thought that was in here.
That's in my favorite book, Hezekiah. But there's something so beautiful about those moments, even when you have to do fasting for like a medical test. Mm-hmm. You know, he's showing you something in that. And obviously it's also to help do the medical things, and that's also part of the plan. But it's also because you say, okay, Lord, I need to seek this answer. So this is why I have to go down this path for that kind of fasting. That's something that I've heard a few of my other friends and a parish nurse I worked with in Minnesota talk about. She goes, that's how you can help sometimes people understand that even fasting for those kinds of things can be honoring to God.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a really neat way to put that. And maybe it also helps when you're really hungry after not being able to eat for like 12 or 24 hours for medical reasons or for this or for that. Because you can just reflect on how much others have given up or how much Jesus gave up, or, you know, I mean, any of those things that kind of help it connect to our faith journey can help us through those things. But that sacrificial part of fasting is what's so still intriguing to me today. And I don't fast very well either, as my body shows anyway. I think that's the thing that I seek most, is figuring out how to be more sacrificial is not quite the right term, but you know what I mean. I hope you know what I mean when I say that.
Well, it's still that seeking him. Like, sometimes I think you know, the more we talk about it, the more I'm like, I think that's what we need, you know, to give up something and then to put God in that place, you know. It's like, I mean, again, obviously I have a social media problem. I do. I'll sit there and I'll scroll it on the weekends. I look at reels, and I mean, I send them to everybody. I mean, you know, you guys get spammed, you know, and
I do enjoy it though.
I know. And that's the hard part, is that, you know, and of course, cause it's an algorithm, they know you, but there's times, like, especially during the week, cause I delete everything throughout the week and just kind of pop on here and there. To you know, I need to read. I want to read more books. It's getting to the point. I mean, it was already embarrassing, but now it's getting really embarrassing how many books I have sitting in this room that I'm sitting in right now that I have not read.
Yeah.
That I own and that I love, but I have not read them. You know, I have a library problem, I feel like, because I keep getting all these books from the library. I got to read these ones first. I got to read this one first before. And I have like a lot of books in this room that I have not read. You know, so I need to replace the time. I want to just sit there and scroll and just read a chapter or two, even if it takes me a month to get through a book. I did that instead of something else. So if we did that, how much better would my relationship be with Christ, with Jesus? How much more would I understand the word and be able to discern his voice if I did something like that? Like, so, okay, so take away social media and then replace it with, okay, the minute I feel like I want to scroll, let's go scroll through Psalms. Let's scroll through Proverbs. Let's scroll through, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, anything. You know, let's get in the Bible. Let's do that. How much stronger would I be in my faith? Because if that's what I'm doing, especially when I'm awake, right? So, because sometimes when I get up at 5:30 in the morning, my brain cells aren't all there. And it's not always clicking until about 6:15 and my kids are starting to get up in the morning for school. You know, and so it's like the minute you start being like, oh, yeah, you're like, crap, now I have to stop because I have to get this kid up because he needs to shower and this kid needs to get up because it takes him forever to get out of bed. You know, it's just how much different would your relationship be if that's something, you know? So, again, it might not always be a full fast, like let's not eat for 48 hours. And maybe it is.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes people can't literally physically cannot do that. And I don't think that God would be like, you know, you need to do that for me.
Yeah. Don't love me. Yeah.
So I think fasting can look differently. I'd like to do a little more research on that because, like I said, I know they did Ezekiel bread. Like that was literally a fasting bread. So I don't know what the parameters were in their culture. And I'm sure it's in this Bible somewhere that explains exactly how you can do that. And it's in the Old Testament, I guarantee it. And I probably glossed over it. And there's somebody listening to this podcast going, I can tell you exactly where it's at. So if you do that, please let me know. I am humble enough to know that I know nothing half the time. So, but I just know that it's here. It's just a matter of where.
Yep.
And I think it's important too that they talk about the money and he talks about the money and possessions, right? Like don't focus on this. Like, trust me, I would love to have, I think everybody would love to be in a different position than they are. You know, I don't think it matters what position you are financially, family wise, anything. There's always something, there's might not be a full grass is always greener, but there's always a little grass is a little greener over there. Maybe. You know, and then he just says, you know, I'm all you need. I'll give you all you need.
Yeah.
And need is the key word in all of that. Not want, not desire.
Need. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. And it's like, I know, that's why I worry about tomorrow, Lord. That's exactly, you literally just said, that's exactly it.
I also like how it tells us, you know, not to lay up treasures on earth. And then it's followed with, don't be anxious.
Yeah. If I had treasures, I wouldn't be anxious. I think it's always important to know that it's good. Sometimes I don't want everybody to think that we're not taking it seriously. You know, the words that are here, but I also, you know, because we do, I know we all take it. We understand this is serious, but I think it's, you need to be able to see the joy too, and you need to be able to have it relate, and you need to be able to, I mean, not make fun of it, but just be like, we understand this is hard. Like, he's literally telling us to not be me at this point. Some, you know, at the time, he's telling me not to be me.
Well, he's telling us that even in our worry, he's constant. Mm-hmm. Even in our fragileness, he's constant. Even in our anger, he's constant.
Yeah.
And are we willing to give up the stuff that we cling to for his constant love, peace, mercy, grace, joy, all, you know, insert adjective here.
Yeah. We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast, the Come As You Are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.